Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. It's Gu and Grandy today. I'm in for Steiny on this Tuesday. Steiny and Gu on 95.7 The Game. We got Ross Tucker, Odyssey Ross. NFL Insider, coming up in about 12 minutes right here on Steiny and Gu. What's question number one that you want to ask Ross, Gu? What do you want to know?
There's 8 number one questions I want to ask, but the first one is... just this running game, and, you know, he's a former offensive lineman in the NFL. I mean, what are you seeing through 3 weeks and the burst question about McCaffrey?
It's kind of, I mean, he's also a Philly guy. There's no hiding that. It's kind of similar with what's going on with Saquon, right? Saquon hasn't been amazing.
No, not at all.
3 weeks.
But a lot of people were saying, there's going to be a fall off, you know, because of how many times he carried and how great they were last week. But I just hate that they won that game against the Rams. I mean,
you hate
Jaylen,
that?
Yeah,
it's good
Hurts.
For the Niners, right?
Yeah, it is. But Hurts, you got it. It ain't good for Dallas. Hey, you got A.J. Brown and my guy, what's the other?
Devontae Smith.
Come on, man. Use them. And he used them by default because they were down.
If I'm A.J. Brown through 2.5 games, I am pissed.
I think now you're feeling
me?
A little better. Like, okay, you told on yourself, bro.
They weren't even targeting him.
Yeah.
They weren't even letting Jaylen throw at all. Yeah. I don't understand. I mean, they won both their games, so like what can you really complain about? But I don't know. That was
Randy,
weird.
In my hand, I have a baseball, and Dibs holds it, Shasky holds it. I used to pitch. And I'm just telling you, I tell Steiny all the time, I love sports. I can't understand how an American cannot – I'm not a simpleton, but how can you not love sports? And this baseball represents the last week of baseball, and we got some close races, but the Giants are not in it. But I'm excited about tonight.
Giants are
I'm
done.
I'm watching ball, that's all. They're done. Wow.
I'm the kind of person who I don't know if lies to myself is the right way to put it.
I've done that many times. But I
live in the moment so much that I convince myself every, like, fall, every March.
Here we go.
Like, this is the best time of the sports calendar. Like, I convince myself that, like, 8 different times throughout the year.
Right.
Like, this is one of them because you have baseball playoffs starting shortly.
Come on.
And then you got college football and college basketball, or NFL football as well.
Jesus.
And then you've also pretty soon got the NBA starting.
Man, 2 weeks away from camp.
Like,
I wasn't even thinking about that.
There will be an overlap where you've got the World Series plus the NBA plus NFL and college football. This is one of the best times to be a sports fan.
It's just a pig in heaven.
Exactly.
Baldy,
exactly.
And we got your Oregon Ducks against what? Penn State?
Oh, my God. I'm already nervous.
Look at you.
I'm already nervous, Q. It's going to be a whiteout at Beaver Stadium in Penn State.
Night game.
7:30 out there, 4:30 Pacific.
I love it.
Locked in.
Cal looked 34-0.
Oh, God.
I was ready to put their quarterback in the Hall of Fame.
So was everybody.
Him and Penix had a bad night. Two left.
By the way, you know, former Cal quarterback that might be going to the Hall of Fame, Fernando Mendoza for Indiana. You see what he did over the weekend?
They put up some points, I believe.
Against top 10 Illinois. Right. They put up like 60 on him or whatever it was.
Shout out David Bruce.
Anyway, we got Ross Tucker coming up in about 8 minutes or so. Until then, we're taking your calls. 888-957-9570. Nick Bosa out for the season. Do you think the Niners can win without Nick Bosa? Let's go to Flea, who's been patient out in Oakland. Flea, what's up? It's Gu and Grandy. How you doing?
What's going on, Gu and Grandy? Check it out. I want your opinion on this. First and foremost, they stack in a box because we don't have no wide receiver that's supposed to be taking off the top of the defense. So Back in the box, for one, that's why McCaffrey really not getting off. You see when he ran to the right on one of those plays, everybody was there. And Pearsall getting open a lot. I think he's going to be a great receiver, but he's getting open because they stack in the box and they only got a corner on him. So he running the timing routes, and he getting open because they don't know where he's going with them timing routes. And another thing I wanted to say, I think Matt Jones is a little bit better than Purdy with anticipating the throw because he can see the pass. When Purdy come back, if y'all going to notice when y'all watch the game, Purdy got to kind of like move to the side to see the play develop. Matt Jones can sit back and actually see Pearsall coming open. So that's why that ball is getting to him a little bit better when Purdy throw the ball, because I believe it's all about the timing. And Matt Jones can see it. And another thing I want to say about Bosa, them three quarters our young players stepped up. So when you were saying that they might fall off the rocker, after next week when the Niners 4-0, Goop, because I feel like they got a rookie wide receiver with Jacksonville, but the rookie wide receiver going to have problems with Lenore if he get up on him. And got one tight, they tied in not that fast, so the Niners shouldn't be a bad. I'm not saying we going to definitely win, but I believe that's a win. So when we go 4-0, Goop, and you come back next week and be like, I don't know. The Niners going to be okay this whole season. And we getting Kittle back. We getting Ayuk back. Then our defense, our youngsters going to get a little bit better. You see, when the game on the line, they playing hard. He knocked that ball out of his hand. So you know
that
we
was
got
a great
dogs.
Play. Yeah. Hey, and Flea, real quick, I told Grandy, hold on, because I think you might be misconstruing what I'm saying. They actually won that game against Arizona without Bosa. I know he was in there for a quarter, so I'm just telling you the youngsters and others got to step up solid too, but I would not be super shocked at all because this has been the theme, Grandy and Flea, for the Niners through 3 weeks is next man up and everywhere, so why would this be any different? Like, they've earned that through 3 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, Flea.
Another thing, when we had a bad season last season, it was because we had a hangover for them Super Bowls, keep on losing these Super Bowls. You got to remember this one thing, even the fans that's listening. We got young players again. We got young legs. We understand Bosa, you know, he'll probably be a Hall of Famer. But we're going to have a youngster coming around that corner right now with fresh legs that can play 17, 16 games. And another thing, Bosa come off the field. If they play seven to eight, nine downs, Bosa come off the field three plays off the defense. So y'all got to remember that. Bosa not on the field every play. He's usually on the play on third and eight, and he can come and get the quarterback. So that's where we need a guy that can come around that corner on third down and eight and at least get some pressure on that quarterback. And Huff and Will, I forgot his name. Will, I forgot his name, but we going to be all right.
All right,
thanks, Flea. You're probably talking about Mykal Williams, the rookie who – what the plan has been for him is on the outside early downs and then kicks inside on pass rushing downs.
But now we'll get to see
him
more.
And that allows Huff to come in on the outside, but we're probably going to see him on the outside maybe almost exclusively now.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because they have to fill that role for Nick Bosa.
But he is right, and again, I'm not diminishing, and I can't. Bosa was off to a great start. The contract is what it is. Does it hurt? Will it hurt? Yes. But the bottom line, man, Grandy, help me if I'm sitting here saying – that, they're done. They are not done. And that's why I came in here on a high horse yesterday, just from a fan standpoint of, man, who is which injury is going to be the one that throws this thing off the track? And right now there hasn't been one.
Yeah, to this point, though, all of the injuries haven't been season-ending injuries.
That's fair.
But without the last two games, without Kittle and without Brock, and they win both those games.
Yeah.
So, like, now, yeah, those are not season-ending injuries, and if they were, we'd be singing an entirely different tune. The good injury news for the Niners, if we can even live in that world for a second, the good Niner injury news is that up until the Bosa injury, they hadn't had anybody that was out for the whole year, at least anyone of any real, real importance, right?
Yeah, and I'm thinking about what you brought up last segment. You know, guys keep dropping like flies, so every time you're like, you know what, Grandy's ready, here comes Goo. The band's back to get, oh, no, Goo's hurt. It never happens or manifests. But this week, the receiving core will get DeMarcus Robinson.
Yeah, and Juwan, you would probably expect to be back.
I mean, here you go. Now the question is, who's throwing the ball to him? And I know it's only Tuesday, Grandy, but do you have any feel on, if it'll be Brock or Mac.
I'm leaning Brock.
And the fact that Mac had that Achilles injury flare back up or whatever was
PCL
going on,
in his
PCL
knee.
In
yeah.
his knee, I'm just like, man, you know, if I'm Brock and I'm 92%, does that mean I'm 100? You know, like, just...
If he's 92%, he's playing. Yeah.
So I'd be curious to see how the game is called.
I mean, I think there's a good chance. One, we know for sure DeMarcus Robinson's back. He served his 3-game suspension. He will be back and he will play unless something happens in practice.
Knock on wood.
Yes, exactly. Jawan is day-to-day.
I couldn't believe he didn't play, but it
happened. Yeah, I was kind of surprised that too. I think he'll probably play this week as well. And then
we'll
Brock is also basically day-to-day, essentially, at this point.
Speaking of which.
I think all three of those guys are going to play, and then the offense is going to feel a lot different.
And then Kittle's coming back, you know, when he does get
at least missing two more games.
So Flea said something about Brock, and we can't ignore. Yeah, Mac is taller than Brock in the pocket. But this is a couple weeks old, but I hadn't seen you. In the Seattle game, the opener, do you remember when Brock jumped up to throw the ball? It was something out of, I don't know, Mario Kart, but I have never seen it.
I laughed watching that live.
Jump
that was
up,
incredible.
Like, wire, but I get it. You're not Drew Bledsoe or Brady, but Grandy, what made him jump up and attempt to throw? That's when I was
maybe,
like, if I'm a defensive lineman and I can't get to him, I'm retreating back, putting both hands up and trying to do the Mutombo to block it down like Warner did on the big play this past Sunday.
Maybe
Grandy, I can't unforget
that. We might be able to track this sound down later in the show. We've got Ross Tucker coming up in a minute. But I forget what podcast or show Brock was on at some point this offseason, but he essentially said at some point this offseason, like, when you're a quarterback, even if you're tall, and I'm not, but I'm pretending I'm Brock right now, even if you're a tall quarterback, even if you are, you still like are kind of guessing half the time. Like 60% of the time, you're seeing the stuff, but the other 40% of the time, you don't see it, and you just have to trust that the guy's there, and you got to throw it there. Like
Damn. That's
essentially what he said.
Yeah, I just picture one of his interceptions now. I'll be like, yeah, he did say that was the 40%.
You didn't even see it. But I mean, so much of quarterbacking, I guess, is trust in your receivers, where you're throwing, and anticipation. And there are times where there's miscommunication; and it looks terrible.
Right?
Like there was one route on Sunday. I think it was, I don't remember what quarter it was, but it was McCaffrey kind of a route down to the left side of the formation. I think it was an option route. He could have cut inside or cut outside. And Mac is essentially reading what McCaffrey's reading and throws it at the moment that McCaffrey breaks. And what happened was McCaffrey broke inside and Mac threw it outside.
Miscommunication.
So much of the quarterbacking mistakes, like the terrible interceptions, the really bad throws, probably are just as simple as them two reading the situation
and that's
differently.
That's why you try to, as a defender, Grandy, disrupt that timing and that trust.
Yeah, absolutely. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. Ross Tucker joining us here in just a second on Steiny and Goo. It's Goo and Grandy with you here on 95.7 The Game until 2 o'clock on this Tuesday. Niners are 3-0, but they're without Nick Bosa. I mean, we can agree on this. Nick Bosa out for the year is a bigger deal because he's out for the whole season than, say, Kittle for four or five games, Purdy for two or three games. Right? Like this is the biggest loss they're going to have to work through probably all season long unless something else disastrous happens.
No doubt about it, and I like what you're putting down, and the bottom line is those are facts, and you kind of hit me with that. Like, Goo, those other injuries were temporary. Guys were coming back and due to come back, but this one is done data, you know, finito. So we'll see how these young guys step up. And, man, I'm just telling you, this now has a ramifications, Grandy, that if they don't get home and replace that pressure, now the secondary's, you know, affected.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see what Ross Tucker has to say about this. On the line is Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side, and we go out now to the River Islands guest line here on 95.7 The Game. Ross Tucker with us. Ross, it's Goo and Grandy. I'm in for Steiny today. First of all, thanks for your time. Let's get right to it. Nick Bosa, torn ACL, out for the year. Your first thoughts on that, and how do the Niners make up for Nick Bosa's loss?
Yeah, I mean, it's over. You might as well cancel the season.
Oh, no.
Is the interview over now? I mean, is that all you
Yeah, you can
it,
go
right?
home, Ross. Thanks.
What else is there to talk about? I mean, no, in all sincerity, you know, the Niners, I'm really bummed about this. I don't know if you guys know this, but in my predictions before the season on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, I had the Niners going back to the Super Bowl.
Wow.
I was really believing in a big bounce back year, and I feel pretty good about that, by the way, with them at 3-0, even with no Ayuk and Kittle gets hurt, no Purdy. I mean, I'm feeling pretty good about that pick, but, you know, there was kind of two schools of thought, I felt like, coming into this year for the Niners. There were the people that believed, you know, that they would have a bounce back year and the guys would stay healthy and all that, like me, I guess. And then there were others that thought, you know, they just get injured all the time, they've gotten older, and it's kind of past the window for the Trent Williams and McCaffreys and some of these guys. It seems like it's kind of in the middle, right, where they're playing well enough to win, and I think they're going to be in the mix until the end. But there's only, I don't know, guys, maybe four or five players on a team that I feel like really, truly make the difference in the outcome of games and really, truly are – I don't think irreplaceable is the right word, but I would just say increases the degree of difficulty to the point where it's unlikely you can overcome that, right? So typically starting quarterback is one of them, you know, and then if you've got a star receiver, skill guy like a McCaffrey, and then I would say, you know, a star defensive lineman. It's just really, really hard to overcome that. I mean, I bet they're feeling great right now that they made the trade for Bryce Huff and that they drafted Mykel Williams in the first round. So they at least have some guys, but, you know, those guys aren't Nick Bosa. He's a top five edge rusher in the league. He's a fantastic, fantastic player. And so they're going to have to try to figure out a different way. If those guys can't get home consistently, Saleh is going to have to pressure more. That's not really his MO, not really what he likes to do. So it's going to be interesting, that's for sure.
No doubt, Ross. Awesome to talk to you. I missed you a couple weeks ago, so I'm excited to talk ball with you. My question is, this offseason, Ross, Mac Jones was acquired by the Niners, and there wasn't a lot of talk about it, but I thought to myself, Kyle is like, to hell with all the noise about the, you know, draft day years ago or the draft night and my possible infatuation with him. But he brought him in, and I'm telling my partner, Grandy, through two games, Ross, he has 80 pass attempts. And my question to you, a former NFL player, what does that signal to you? Is that trust or is that odd or does that even show up on your radar that a backup quarterback would throw it around the yard that much through two games?
It's a good question. I think one thing that we lose sight of a lot is that the defense has a say in this. You know, the defense has a big, big say in this, typically every week. And so depending on how they're defending a team or what their game plan is, and I think these teams have said, let's make Mac Jones beat us. Let's not let, you know, McCaffrey in the ground game get going. But I also do think there's a certain level of trust there with Kyle Shanahan and Mac Jones, and that's a great thing. You know, I mean, you know, those are two valuable wins. Mm. You know, when a quarterback like scrambles for a first down on third and long, I always say that not all first down conversions are created equal. That's like a bonus first down when a quarterback scrambles and gets it on third and long, because that's not one that should have happened within the context of the play call. Mm. I feel like backup quarterback wins are like bonus wins. You're not really expecting to win the majority of those. So every one you can stack is just such a huge, huge boost for the team. So credit to Mac and really the whole team for still taking care of business these last 2 weeks.
Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker with us here on Steiny and Goo. And insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Ross, you're talking about the run game a little bit there, and the defense obviously has a say, and maybe part of the reason why the Niners are throwing so much with Mac Jones is because the run game hasn't been as reliable as I think Shanahan would like it to be. What do you see as a former offensive lineman for the Niners run game? Because to me, obviously not as trained of an eye as you, nowhere near, to me it just doesn't seem like the holes are there for Christian McCaffrey. What do you see in the Niners run game?
I would agree. I think there's a lot that goes into that. I think part of it is not having Kittle out there. You know, he's a difference-making blocker at the tight end position. And also because of what he is as a receiving threat, he forces teams to play it a little bit differently. You know, as would teams be playing differently if Juwan and, you know, Ayuk were out there, right? But also, I'm not sure all these guys are playing to the point we needed them to play, right? Or that the Niners need them to play. I'm not sure Trent is what we've always come to know and love from him, which would make sense. You know, I don't know if Puni's playing as well as he did last year as a rookie. So there's a lot of factors. Obviously, they got a new left guard in there. So there's a lot that goes into it.
Ross, you talked about, now I'm still shook about your Super Bowl pick. I mean, that's ultra confidence in this Niner team, but we saw a play. The Niners are down 15-13 after giving up a safety. Third down, third nine, and Zay Jones breaks up a pass. And it was, Upton Stout breaks up a pass to Zay Jones, who had the ball, Ross, but Upton Stout just stayed with it. It's incomplete. They got a punt. The Niners win the game. And I just say to you, after Wilkes and Sorensen, the former defensive coordinators, the back-to-back season for the Niners, it was bad. Just how great of a job is Saleh doing through 3 weeks? And, you know, do you expect this to keep up? Because right now I'm just looking like, these young guys. But, man, Robert's got him in the right place. I mean, what are you seeing from the job he's doing?
Well, no question he's doing a good job. But I do think it needs to be said, you know, last year, didn't they, like, almost all get hurt? I mean, Fred was out there playing with, like, a broken leg. Greenlaw was out. Hargrave got hurt. Hufanga got – I mean, I lost track. And I know that a lot of those guys aren't there this year. But at least it feels like they have more of the guys out there, obviously, before this Bosa injury. But more of the guys out there that they were expecting to have out there, whereas – last year, I mean, that's a big learning curve for a first-year D coordinator in Sorensen when, you know, you got your best interior lineman, your best linebacker and a half, let's call it, you know, your best. I mean, it just – that was a tough one. And then obviously it was compounded by the injury they had on the offense side of the ball. And I know nobody's driving around listening wants to hear about injuries. Mm. Oh, injuries are no-
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
No excuse. Hey, guess what? I'm not saying it's an excuse. I'm just giving you the reason. You know, I'm just telling you the reason. So we're going to learn a lot, Guru, about Saleh without Bosa. You know, it's like
wow.
When you're a broadcaster and the game's a blowout and it's 40-10 in the fourth quarter, you find out a lot about yourself as a broadcaster. Well, we're going to find out a lot about Saleh as a D coordinator without Bosa for the rest of this year.
Ross wow. Tucker with us here on 95.7 The Game. I'm curious then, Ross, what do you think the adjustment should be? And I'm sure it's game to game and maybe even series to series and play to play. But without Nick Bosa, I mean, the numbers showed it. the pressure rate for the Niners on Sunday with Nick Bosa on the field versus without apparent, like a very, very big difference. So is the adjustment with a young secondary? We talked about Upton Stoud and Renardo Green and Marquis Siegel. Those are two rookies and a second-year guy. Is the adjustment to blitz more and try to affect the quarterback, not put it on your young defensive backs? If you are Robert Saleh trying to adjust to life without Nick Bosa, what do you think is adjustment number one?
Yeah, and not that they never blitzed when Bosa was out there, but I think Saleh felt pretty comfortable that they could at least disrupt the quarterback with a four-man rush as long as he had Bosa out there. Now, without Bosa, I'd be curious to see hear what his level of confidence is in the four-man rush. Not always a sack, not always even a pressure, right? But just, you know, bother the quarterback, annoy the quarterback. So I would expect them to bring more pressure. That doesn't mean it's all the time, but enough of a changeup so that the quarterback is very aware of it. He certainly does not want to put, you know, all these young guys in positions to be man-to-man and having to cover all day. But you also don't want to have them in a position where they're totally isolated either. So, like I said, this is when it becomes – I think Saleh was a good coordinator in, like, here's what I do, here's what we do, and we do it really, really well, almost like the Buffalo Bills. Now I think he's going to have to change it up a little bit and not be able to just do what he does, if that makes sense.
No, it does, Ross. And I told Grandy before we have you on, and when we have you on every other week, man, you do it all. You are out in the trenches. And I was listening to you do the Colts-Titans game, and I have to ask this because the Colts are 3-0, Niners are 3-0, Philly, Buffalo, that doesn't surprise me. They're 3-0. But Tampa Bay and the Chargers, along with the Niners. But, Ross, are the Colts real? Have they impressed you? I know it's 3 weeks, but have they shocked you with what they've done through 3 weeks as well?
I'm not going to say shocked because I kind of thought, and people that listen to my show, the Ross Tucker Podcast, know this. As soon as they signed him back in March, I thought it was going to work. You know, I'm to the point now, Guru, and I just saw this last year with the Eagles and Saquon Barkley. The Giants right now is like where skill guys go to die. I mean, Saquon leaves the Giants, and he has more rushing yards than any running back in the history of the sport. And then you've got, you know, obviously Daniel Jones leaves, and now he's playing this. I mean, Daniel Jones is probably the offensive player of the year right now. So are they going to have back-to-back Giants cast-offs or guys that the Giants let go be players, offensive player of the year in the league? That's how well Daniel Jones is playing right now. You know, the Titans are not a good team, but they had a lead late in the third quarter against both, you know, the Rams as well as the Broncos. The Colts destroyed them at home in Nashville. It was they are super impressive right now.
They are. Hell of a beginning for Danny Dimes and the Colts. Ross, we appreciate your time, and we'll catch up with you again in a couple weeks.
Sounds great. See you guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks, yep. Ross. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. That question you just asked, Goo, it has my mind thinking about, you mentioned a bunch of the 3-0 starts. Yeah. So the Colts are one of them, the Chargers are one of them, the Niners, and then the more obvious ones like the Bills and the Eagles.
Tampa Bay's in there, too.
Tampa Bay, yeah, good call. If we forget about, like, preseason hype or expectations, right? Like, forget about power rankings.
Gotcha.
Power rankings are all
we get it
fake anyway, because it's what you think that team is going to be as opposed to what they've proven or done. So if we just forget about everything other than these 3 weeks of football that we've watched, just these 3 weeks of football, I mean, where does the Niners 3-0 start rank among, like, most impressive first 3 weeks of the season in the NFL? Like, okay. It's got to be up there,
considering
the injuries.
No doubt. And here's what I'm answering your question.
Colts got to be up there.
But I'm going to put the Chargers.
They're up there, too.
Of you know, the guy that's running it. I'm a big fan of his, Jimmy. Yeah, no doubt. And the Niners right beneath it, only because the Niners could have lost the game, those games. They didn't, Grandy. They won them. But I can't ignore what they've been without. So I got to be honest. I'm floored on what Ross said about what I was saying about we all were Saleh about now. That's the like boy.
He also kind of
tell it, me. I was like
he didn't. He didn't really give Saleh a ton of credit. Right. He was like, yeah, Saleh's good and all, but
that's
like they're healthy.
Processed it, but like now. Go to battle without Kobe or Jordan or Steph and then come back and tell me how good of a judge. You know, that's how I yeah. processed it, but we'll see. But you asked me a question. I'm going to put the Niners right underneath the Chargers and then Tampa third and Philly and Buffalo, I expect.
Where's Indiana or Indianapolis?
The Colts.
They got to be up there,
yeah,
right? I mean, they beat the Broncos, who maybe the Broncos aren't as good as we thought.
Okay, so let's do this right. I can hear that. All right, so I got the Chargers first. Niners, I'll go Colts because that is shocking. Tampa, Buffalo, Philly. So I'm giving you the outcast, but for him to say he had the Niners.
I mean, Philly's got to win over the Chiefs and the Rams.
Yeah, no, that's but I expect that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I expect that.
And the Cowboys.
And then Buffalo.
And Buffalo's got to win over the Ravens.
Yeah, the dude who can throw a football in a tornado, you know what I mean?
Josh Allen.
Yeah, he is, man, and his wife's beautiful. Yeah. But those are my three.
The point is that you can, if you want, you can discredit the Niners' wins because of who they played.
See, I don't want to do that.
I don't want to do it either.
I almost give them more credit because of what you've been without Grandy.
Absolutely. And because of that point, I think it's comparable. At the very least, comparable to all the other 3-0 starts because those other teams have more impressive wins?
Exactly.
Yes. But those other teams are nowhere near as banged up as the Niners are already.
And now
Tampa's getting close.
Yeah, well, you are right. And what? Evan's about to miss 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah, and they're playing without like three offensive linemen.
But it's funny, just going back to what Ross said and you brought up here, Kyle's already, if I call the offense his unit, he's already shown us, Grandy, hey, I can do it without my starting tight end. Arguably, Kelsey's fell off. The best tight end in football, yep. I believe, is Kittle. He's done it without him twice. He's done it without his starting quarterback twice. Now, can Saleh, after Ross has me thinking, the guru computer, okay, can you do what basically Kyle's done without arguably his best players? Can you do it without Bosa? Because, man, I didn't see that coming, that answer coming from him. But
yeah,
now that you sit back and think about it, it's like, okay.
Makes sense.
Yeah. No doubt.
Like, I mean, I still think Saleh does a ton. We were talking about earlier in terms of the mindset and the belief.
Yes.
Yeah, babysitting. And obviously the players deserve a ton of credit for going out there and executing. But I think Robert Saleh's impact is, and I mean, we think of defensive coordinators and you think of, all right, call the right play in the right moment. Saleh rarely blitzes. Pick the right time to blitz and you're doing your job. But yes. I think what Saleh does, because we've seen now for 2 years with Steve Wilks and with Nick Sorensen, and it was worse with Sorensen. It was just lifeless. You could tell that the belief wasn't really there.
I'm getting mad and now. Wilks got him to the Super Bowl, and they played their ass off at the Super
Bowl.
They did. But go ahead.
But you know, it wasn't great for a ton of that year. That's why
bring your ass down to the
specifically Sorensen. It was bad. By the way, did you see what happened in Atlanta already?
No,
they're bringing Zach Robinson, their offensive coordinator, down to the sideline.
That's just the death signal, right? It's just
they fired like passing game coordinator and wide receivers coach. Dude, Atlanta's already firing people.
Penix looked horrible.
That's what happens. You lose 30-0.
My neighbor had some chicken on it. He was awful.
Your neighbor.
Like, what are you looking at, dude? It was bad. I'm just saying,
it
Atlanta.
Was terrible.
Yeah, they were watch out for Atlanta. I don't know now.
But I think to Saleh's, maybe where...
What you going to do without both of them?
Maybe where Ross is missing a little bit is obviously injuries are part of it, and maybe it's chicken or the egg. Do they not believe because of the DC, or do they not believe because of the injuries?
Right.
But there is a different vibe and energy and enthusiasm and belief in that group. I think a lot of that has to do with Saleh.
Yes, and our guy Flea that called... You know, he didn't play in the NFL. We love you, Flea, but he was the exact on the opposite street of what Ross said about Saleh and this defense. And Flea had some points. You know, who's out? What's my guy for the Vegas Raiders that's out there every down? Defensive lineman.
Oh, Max Crosby.
Oh, my gosh. I feel like he plays more snaps than Bosa. That's just me. But, you know, Bosa's not – he wasn't out there every down, but he's a factor, and now we'll see – how difficult it is to – hey, I don't know what you think, Randy, real quick. Jacksonville ain't no punk. The NFL is not a punk.
No, they're not
team. They're not a bad team. So
they should have beat the Bengals in Cincinnati. They should be 3-0.
Yeah, look at you.
They should be 3-0. Yeah,
but they're not. Niners are.
Niners are 3-0.
Think they get to the playoffs?
The Niners?
Yeah. Right now, if I just put gun to your head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why am I thinking violence, gun to your head? Just if you had to go to the table and make a bet. I'm watching
just
too much
TV. Just a figure of speech,
yeah.
Goo.
But, yeah, you feel like they can get
I think
there,
they make the playoffs. Huh? Yeah. I think.
I was hearing Willard and Dibbs, and they were doing the schedule. You already got three.
It's still hard for me to pick out, like, six losses or seven losses on the schedule.
Yeah. I got you.
I kind of hate that my mind immediately goes to the reason why I feel that way is because of the schedule and not because of the team themselves.
That but is like, funny. It's what we do now.
You run through the schedule, and you're like, well, I don't see them losing to so-and-so. Like, all right, that's a W. All right, that's a W. That's a W. I have a hard time finding, like, eight losses. Yeah. And if you get to
that's
10,
that's a beautiful thing.
And if you're 10-7, Goo, like you're at least going to have a good shot to make the playoffs. If you're 11, you're in almost no matter what.
And I remember, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was 3-13. The Niners went a 4-12, then they bounced back 19, went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And that was incredible. Like the Warriors in 2022 to me. Like you had mentioned earlier, came out of nowhere. But I'm going to plant my flag on if it's 3 weeks. I know this. But if this continues and this version of the Niners were to qualify for the playoffs before kickoff, if that's a wild card or divisional round game, this would be Kyle's best work along with Saleh. With these youngsters, what you just were a year ago, six wins, and you were to come back and duct tape it without, you know, all your guys, you know, pulling their weight all 17 games. Like, this has the ingredients, Grandy, of being a special coaching job.
It does. Yeah, absolutely.
And he's showing us now.
They have had some other seasons where they were injured and they still, like, the year they went to the NFC Championship game and lost to the Rams.
And should have been Tart catches that ball, they win.
Yeah. That was also an amazing coaching job because you had so much craziness that year, too.
And, no, you're right. And I think
but this
one
will be up there.
Yeah,
right.
I got you.
Yeah. 888-957-9570. Let's go out to Chris in San Jose who wants to talk about this Niner team. And if you want to weigh in, give us a call. Again, 888-957-9570. Can the Niners win without Nick Bosa? Up next is Chris. Chris, what's up? How you doing?
Good morning, gentlemen. Cool. Are you okay?
Yes, sir.
I'm just checking on you, brother. Make sure you're standing tall.
Okay, yeah, I'm good, baby. Thanks for checking.
I heard you got beat up yesterday. Kind of rough, huh?
Yeah, you know. Hey, we just had a show. You know how it is.
All right, don't let them do that to you. The offensive line, and it's obvious that Shanahan's system wrecks our physicality. We are constantly hurt. And, I mean, the running backs are taking a lot of punishment. There's sieves and holes in the offensive line. And we know Brock Purdy, his game is usually on roller skates. And that creates disaster and chaos. Your second-string quarterback is wearing a knee brace. And if we didn't secure the offensive line, the guys wouldn't have to take so much punishment. So don't make the fans think that we're going somewhere. Because we're not. You beat cupcake teams, second-string quarterbacks. The mechanics on these quarterbacks are horrible. Bosa got the strip because the quarterback dropped the ball down to his waist before he threw the pass. If he keeps that ball above his shoulder, behind his ear, Bosa's nowhere around. So don't get hung up on Superman, Mr. Muscles. You're only so much, Bosa. You're human. You stop trying to be a hero because you're hurting yourself. Hits are hurting the team.
But,
so let's be honest.
I just want to say this to you. Because you're being pessimistic, and it's your right to. All I'm telling you is this team is 3-0. Woulda, coulda, shouldas. That's what you described. And you could call back in 3 weeks if they lost every game until then, and they would still be .500. My point is you can't be mad for any human or Niner fan right now wanting to jump in the pool. And you are right, not oversight and Grandy that they've been close, but they've won games that they would have lost last year.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, Chris, I get where Chris was going, but until we get there, you can't be right, Chris. He was the neighbor knocking on the door right there. Chris, turn the music down because there's a party going on. And, hey, it might be over in 5 minutes, Chris, but until then, you can't make that call.
Yeah, you got to take advantage, celebrate while you can.
No doubt, and Steve – Benazi in the chat is saying, Goo, slow down. They got the easiest schedule. I'm not telling you anything other than they're 3-0, Grandy, with this litany of injuries.
Yeah, I also think I'm not sure exactly what Chris was saying in terms of Nick Bosa being Superman.
That you shouldn't celebrate or be excited. It sounded to me, I'm paraphrasing, being 3-0 because the only reason he got the fumble on Darnold was he threw the, you know, what he could have shit up, but it happened, Chris.
Maybe I'm misinterpreting. I thought Chris was saying the only reason Nick Bosa got hurt was because he was going too crazy, trying too hard.
I didn't get that.
Maybe yeah. I misinterpreted it, the only reason that there was a strip sack was because Sam Darnold is so bad and because Spencer Rattler is so bad. Like, you got to the quarterback.
Chris was knocking you on beat the door your offensive lineman. Come on. I don't like that.
Yeah.
They're 3-0. We're regardless. Now, if we have a conversation real quick, Grandy, on staying power, that's a different conversation.
That's a different conversation.
But you and I don't control that, Chris, either. The players control that.
And now it becomes more difficult because you're without Nick Bosa. And let's hear from Dr. Pandya because he joined the guys in the morning today to talk about Nick Bosa's ACL tear. What does it mean for Nick? We can get into that. Plus, there's a whole lot more to dive into. That's what's coming up on The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. And that segment, Ross Tucker and all, was brought to you by the California Office of Traffic Safety and Caltrans. It's Goo and Grandy on Steiny and Goo, back with more next on 95.7 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. No Steiny today. It's Goo and Grandy with you here on Steiny and Goo on 95.7 The Game. Goo, you heading down to Levi's on Sunday?
No.
Are you busy?
No. I like watching in the lab.
Me too.
Seriously, I do, man. Especially football. I need to be right there like I'm on the 50-yard line.
Well, if you are going down to Levi's.
Talk to me.
You should join 95.7 The Game at Laughing Monk Brewing in Sunnyvale for the kickoff show. Great food, great drinks, and great games in the parking lot. The show starts, that's the kickoff show, at 10 a.m. with Evan Giddings and Lo Neal, and all the early games will be on for you to watch. And get this, if you're going to the game, a free shuttle to and from the stadium. That's right, park at Laughing Monk for free, join the party, and then take the shuttle back and forth to the game. All you have to do to sign up sign up and reserve a spot. Do it now because space is limited. Go to 957thegame.com, click on the kickoff show graphic, and then click on the Eventbrite link and sign up, and we will see you there. I think this is a great way to take in a Niner game, Goo, because what you're talking about, you want to watch it in the lab so I can also watch all of the games.
Man.
When you go to a football game in person, you kind of are just blind to the rest of the NFL day. But you show up at 10 to Laughing Monk.
Yes.
You hang out with our guys, E and Lo.
Two of my favorites.
You watch the early slate of games.
Look at him.
You take a free shuttle to Levi's, and then you watch the Niner game. That if you're going to do it, that's the way to do it.
Dude, I love it, and that's why I had them on last week, yep. Lo and Evan, and they were great. But, Grandy, I'm about to put you on the spot. And to Chris, I didn't get my ass kicked yesterday. Anyway, I got to say this to you. I need to know where you are, where your loyalty lies.
Okay.
And just give me your honest answer.
Okay.
So
I'm nervous.
I'm in the lab, eat my Jimmy Dean sausage sundae, hash browns, put a little cheese
on
it.
Sounds delicious.
Oh, hot sauce. And after I went to the gym early morning, shout out 24-Hour Fitness, and I get a text from the boss in the station's account on Twitter, Lo Neal's getting ready, telling me, talking smack about, you know, a race Lo and I are going to have.
I
so
know
Grandy,
where you're going.
49er Frankie told me I was looking a little slimmer yesterday. I did a video on TikTok. And I was like, you know, I'm in the lab a little bit. Grandy, I understand, and Steiny and everybody, I understand Lowe was a fullback years ago. But if we race right now, do you think it would just be a blowout? It's okay. We'll finish through.
I mean, I don't know about blowout. I think low wins, and it's probably not super close.
But you understand I'm taller than my legs are longer than his. I'm not rerun. I don't have a piano back.
I don't think the easiest thing to do
in life is run.
I know you're an athlete, Goo. You're an athlete. We're talking about a professional athlete, and I know that Lowe's playing days are long gone. He's still a physical specimen. All right. When was the last time you saw him in person, Goo? He's still a big
last
dude.
Last time I did 50 push-ups in here.
I know what you think, Guru. I know what you think. But I just don't know if you're ready for this smoke.
I mean, that was last year, right?
Yeah, that was last year.
Maybe early 2025.
And I saw him in the studio. He told me to do 50 push-ups. I went over there on air.
I remember that. That was great content. Yeah, that was amazing. Okay,
but yeah, something about outstanding balance. But anyway, you got low. All right, I just asked you. I love you, Goo.
You're going to be mad that I said it this way. For dudes your age, okay, you are still, like, I would imagine, near the top in terms of your athletic ability.
Okay, and Grandy, if I'm playing with Lambda, full court basketball nerds, you still got to be able to move to play. So my knees are moving.
I'm not saying you can't move. Locomove real fast is all I'm saying.
I got you.
888-957-9570. Paul and Tracy wants to weigh in. It's Goo and Grandy with you here on Steiny and Goo. What's up, Paul?
Hey guys, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, sure. What do you got?
Yeah, so I want to talk about the O-line and how good they have been the last two games. They have given like only two or three sacks, and Mac is just standing there throwing 80 times and getting the wide open receivers. And regarding Purdy, do you think he bails out left or right way too much because he can't see over the linemen? Because last two games, they have been just fine. Mac is just standing there and throwing whatever he wants to throw. What do you guys think?
Thanks for the call, Paul. What do you think, Goo?
And I'm going to throw it back to you. I think they have their franchise quarterback. They took that all into account, the height, the weight, the width, whatever, however you want to draw it up, whatever ruler you want to use in regard to measurements, and decided Brock Purdy has gotten us to a Super Bowl. Nobody asked for me to run this down, but I'm going to because this is my answer. He's got you to two NFC championship games. So in Brock, they believe. But I'm being honest to that point. When I watch Mac throw and drop back, I just feel like, oh, there are some things. Do I dare say, because arm strength, you know, shout out Film on Mike. I don't want to get into that. I'm giving to Mac Jones. But that's not the one trait that makes a quarterback. But Grandy, when I watch him throw some of these out routes and outside the hashes, I'm saying, I don't know if Brock could do that or do it over and over. So there is a little speck of difference that I see from Mac Jones, but I'm not ready, and I don't think the caller's asking me to say he's a better quarterback than Brock. But I am amazed at 80 pass attempts in two games. Kyle's telling us something.
It's a big number.
But what if you're right? And I think our guest, Ross Tucker, alluded to it. Maybe it's a byproduct because they can't have the success that they want running the ball.
Defense has a say, and I would imagine, I mean, maybe it's a little different because Mac is like the upper echelon of backup quarterbacks. Like, it's different with Jake Browning, right? Like, what did the Vikings do?
Beat their crap out of them. But
the Vikings stuffed the box and said, Chase Brown, you're not running.
Right. Wow.
And as a Chase Brown fantasy owner, I'm upset.
Ouch.
But they said, all right, Jake Browning, you're going to have to beat us through the air if you're going to beat us. And that's already a really good Minnesota defense. It becomes 10 times more difficult to throw the ball. I would imagine what the Saints and what the Cardinals' game plan was, especially when you factor in no Kittle and against the Cardinals, no Juwan. Hey, Mac, if you're going to beat us, you're going to have to beat us through the air. And Niners try to establish the run game early. It does not work. They can't get first downs. The only way they can move the chains is by throwing the ball, even on early downs.
Yeah.
And the Niners just say, you know what? We're moving the ball decently here through the air. Why would we go back to the run at that point. Yeah. And I think the defense is just having a big say in it.
No doubt. And I'll give Arizona I'm crazy. I'm sharing with you, Grandy. You didn't ask. I got to tell you, that bird on the side of their helmet start getting evil at times. Like, you know, before the play, I'm like, man, they were pecking. And that pocket was collapsing a little bit. Like, Mac Jones wasn't comfortable all day against Arizona. Like, there was some...
I mean, the Niners scored 16 points. They had 355 yards of total offense, but 16 points. It was not easy.
They were moving that pocket at times, and it was, you know, he had to get rid of the ball. So
I mean, Niners had 5.7 yards per play.
Yeah.
But 16 points.
Have you asked yourself, Grandy, are you ready for the game? And it might be this week at home against Jacksonville when Brock does come back to just assess or the compare-contrast of how Kyle calls the game or how it's going to look? Or do you think, you know what, Goo, you're asking me a loaded question, but it'll probably look the same. I'm curious to see if the variance looks different.
I'm going to give you something that Ross Tucker gave you. That's a good question.
He did. I hope you got that from Ross. Not like Willard and Diz, but I got
that's
it.
That's a good question. I'm ready for the discourse to get frustrating is what I'm ready for.
Wow.
Because I think we're going to see more success in the run game, less passing. But the reason we're going to see less passing is because the run game works better, and everyone's going to take that as Shanahan doesn't trust Brock as much as he trusts Mac. But that's the way I see this going.
And that's what this job is. Come on, man. That's how they think. You know, fan is short for fanatic.
Yeah.
But if you are correct, Grandy, real quick, and we see the success on the ground, I don't think it'll be that. I think it'll be obvious. But what if that run is nothing?
Seattle, it's going to be up to Brock. Okay. It's going to be up to Brock. We can get into that on the other side. That segment was brought to you by Safeway. Plus, we will let you hear what Dr. Pandya had to say about Nick Bosa's ACL. You're not going to want to miss it. He was on with the Joes on the Morning Roast earlier today. We'll get to that and a whole lot more. Again, that segment brought to you by Safeway. It's Goo and Grandy on Steiny and Goo. More next on 95.7 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And you're seeing exactly
why
it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.